If you have your Bible with you, would you turn please to John chapter 2? And we're going to be reading the first 11 verses. And this story starts right at the start of our Lord's ministry here on earth. And this scene is at Cana in Galilee. And he's at a wedding. And this is the first miracle that our Lord performed in front of the disciples. So we're reading from verse 1 of John chapter 2. It's entitled, Jesus Changes Water to Wine. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus said. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he asks you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best to now." This was the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Amen. And we know God will bless this, his word.
Thank you very much, Sam. You can hear me all right? This is not my normal voice. So anyway, there's no cure for the common cold, she isn't there? So my eyes are streaming, I can't see you. My head's blocked, I can't hear you. My voice is gone, I can't speak to you. So,
good. This passage is a very well-known one. I'm sure you know it very well indeed.
And sometimes we read it and just glance over it, and it happened, and that was that. But there's lots of lessons to be learned from this particular passage. And one of the things you learn in life as a believer, we all seek for blessing. We all want the blessing. But sometimes we miss out the fact that to receive the blessing, there's a command that's there from the Lord before the blessing comes. And we've got to be very aware of that. We want to look at this passage of scripture, John chapter 2. And there's a place here. We want to look at the place of what's happening. But there's also a problem. And there's some principles here we want to prove out. And we want to see how we can practice in our service for God to please the Saviour. So first of all, let's look at verse 1 and 2. It tells us that this place was Cana in Galilee. And it tells us who was there. Just picture the scene. We've got a wedding feast. A time of joy. A time of rejoicing. And Jesus is there. It says also that Jesus' mother was there. And the disciples, they were all invited to this wedding. The passage makes reference to the bridegroom. No mention of the bride. But we just presume it was a bride somewhere. Otherwise, there'd be no point. But the bridegroom is mentioned, and it also refers to the master of the banquet. And it talks about all the guests who were there. And it also mentions the servants. Now, weddings in those days were a big affair. They could have lasted for possibly a week. A long time compared to our weddings these days when it's over in a day. So Jesus was there. He was invited. This was a big celebration, a big party. And Jesus and the disciples and his mother were all there to enjoy themselves. You know, it's all right to enjoy yourself. Believe it or not. As a Christian, Proverbs 15 says, a happy heart makes the fierce cheerful. I see you recognize that face, don't you? The cheerful heart has a continual feast. Sometimes we've got to let our faces know that we're enjoying ourselves. But here we have the situation where the happy heart makes the face cheerful. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm come to give you life and give it to you more abundant. And the abundant life doesn't start in heaven. It starts here and now. For me, it started 48 years ago. That's a long time. But it was great. Everything's going well. And then the problem hits. The wine runs done. Now, in this particular culture, this was a serious, serious problem. The financial responsibility for the wedding and the feast fell on the bridegroom at that time. If you didn't know that, that's the case. The bridegroom was responsible for all of this. And the host, he invited as many people as possible, especially distinguished guests. And this would be a real crisis and a big embarrassment for the groom, who was responsible to ensure that what happened here did not happen. But it happened. And Jesus' mother gets to hear about it. Maybe she heard the servants whispering. And this was a big embarrassment because guests were to help defray the expense of the wedding because they brought gifts. So there's an immediate need here. And what does Mary do? So what do when you're in trouble? Well, the obvious thing to do here was if the bridegroom's responsible and there's no wine, you go to the bridegroom, pull him to the side and say, hey, there's no wine. That's not what Mary does. There's a lesson here. There was a need, and Mary went straight to Jesus. When there's a need, who do you go to first? Quick, quick, give me the phone, ring the pastor. The pastor should know eventually, if appropriate. But there's a throne of grace. There's grace to help in time of need. So she goes to the Lord himself. And Jesus is quite clear here, see verse 4, in what he's saying. He's very polite to his mother and calls her ma'am, or, dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come. And we know in scripture that when he talks about his time or his hour, that refers to his death, resurrection, and his exaltation. Even when they were going to prepare the Passover, Jesus said, if a man comes and queries it, just tell the man, my appointed time is near. Passover was coming, and Jesus' appointed time was near. But this time, he says, this is not the time. Now, the last verse that Sam read for us said, confirms that this is the first of his miraculous signs. This is the very first miracle that Jesus performed. And by doing this, he revealed his glory. This is very significant. The disciples were amazed and they put their faith in him. Now, when he said, this is not my appointed time, and he revealed his glory by performing this miracle, what he's really saying here is right. For the last 30 years, I haven't done a miracle. This is the first miracle. And this signifies the way that will lead to the cross. The first miracle And on he went from there. And maybe Mary knew her son very well indeed. She knew a lot about him. And you think back to Luke chapter 1, when the angel talked to her and said, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then when the shepherds came to worship, they told what had happened about the angels coming. And it says that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then later on in chapter 2, it tells how they lost the boy Jesus somewhere in the crowd. And Jesus said, didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? And Mary treasured these things in her heart. So Mary had faith not only in her son, but in her Saviour. So it's Mary's faith that speaks out to the servants, and she said to them, whatever he says to you, do it. And as a result of this miracle, there's no shortage anymore. You see, there's liberality with God, his grace is plenteous. There's mercy. He gives abundantly, grace upon grace. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And he gives, and he gives, and he gives again. But the wine had run out, and he supplies the need. This, in a way, was a very simple miracle from the point of view that the Lord, he could have, because of his knowledge, that down the road he was going to get hassle, criticism, condemnation from the scribes and the Pharisees, Herod, Pilate. He could have said, hold on, gather all these people together and watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to prove that I am indeed God manifest in the flesh. He didn't even call for the master of the feast. He didn't even call for the bridegroom. There's no crowd called in. He does this very simply, and in a very natural way he displays his glory. How does he do that? And I think this is lovely and very encouraging. He involves the servants. Jesus could do what he wants. He's God. But he brings the servants in. He didn't say, stand back and watch what I'm going to do. These servants were nobody special. There was no fuss, there was no ceremony. And if you're here this morning and you have a desire to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, be simple-hearted. Be available and be usable. Be a servant and follow the example of Christ himself. There are some lovely principles here. As I mentioned earlier on, quite often when there's a blessing to come, there's a command that comes with it. Go right through Scripture. There's umpteen examples. Even way back in the Old Testament, we had Naaman, who had a skin disease. And he was told by the prophet to go and dip in Jordan 7 times. What? That dirty old river? There's no way. But eventually he did. And he was cleansed. Jesus didn't say, let wine appear. He could have. But he brings the servants in and he says, fill the jars with water. There was a time when he put clay on the eyes of a blind man. And he said, go to the pool of Siloam. My Bible's slipping here. He said, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And the man did that and he received his sight. The man had a useless arm and Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. He did. And he was healed. There was an impotent man lying there and Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. Oh no, I can't do that. The command, get up and walk. And in obedience to the command, the blessing comes. Peter the fisherman caught nothing all night and Jesus said, launch out, go do it now. And he got so many fish. So by a command, he bestows this benefit. It might be you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. Let me say to you, the same principle applies. The command is there, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessing is, you will be saved. Come unto me, the command, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God commands all men everywhere to repent. But following that command, if it's obeyed, brings an eternal blessing. Christ's commands are to be obeyed, not questioned. See, the need here was for wine. And Jesus calls for water. The servants didn't know what was happening, but Jesus did. Don't ask God to explain. Just do it. His commands are not grievous, you know. Psalm 19 explains that there's great reward in obeying the Lord. A sinner receives Christ as Saviour and has no idea of the great blessings that are in store. As I said, 48 years ago, I did it. I had no idea what was ahead of me. And it's been absolutely wonderful. The sinful heart, you see, will always find a reason not to obey. That resistance that is in here, to do your own thing, do it my way. Surely it'd be easier to go to some friend and say, would you go and get more wine? Find a shop somewhere. When you're obeying the Lord, always do it enthusiastically. The servants didn't know what would happen. Jesus didn't tell them. He just said, fill the jars with water. So they didn't just half fill them, they did what he said, they filled them to the brim. It tells us that they filled them to the brim. That's the example. Jesus commands us all to believe with all of your heart. Trust him. We've got to preach in season, out of season, pray mightily, pray without ceasing. Search the scriptures from end to end. So if you want to find a blessing as a believer this morning in your life, you've got to fill the jars to the brim. Go the second mile. Now, the choices we have, you have a servant and he says, Lord, you know, you're sovereign. You can make wine without the water. True. So I'm not going to interfere. You just get on with it. Or you could say, I'm not bringing any water. There's a lot of pots and pans and heavy buckets and heavy work going out to that well in the heat of the day, drawing the water and bringing it in here for what? Look, I'll tell you what. You do the miracle on your own. I'll watch and then I'll drink of the wine. How's that? Or you can say, you know, I don't fully understand what he's doing. But nevertheless, I'm off to the well to get water. Brothers and sisters, let's go to the well. He'll sort it out. He knows what he's doing. This is our task, not just our task, but it's our privilege to obey and serve him. And one thing we have to bear in mind, no matter what we do, our actions alone are not sufficient. Let's say the bridegroom or even the host had decided this and said, right, fill the pots with water. And the servants did that. All you've got are pots brimming with water. Any wine? Not a drop. See, except the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain who build it. It's all about him. After all the work is done, what we do in serving Christ, nothing happens without Christ himself and the Holy Spirit. Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. We cannot even create an anxious thought. It's as simple as that. But God can do that through his Holy Spirit. If we fill the water pots in our life with water, he will turn the water into wine. God has ordained our part to play. But filling the pots was necessary. This was something which was impossible as far as man was concerned. Couldn't turn water into wine. But we serve the God of the impossible. You remember Elijah at Mount Carmel facing the prophets of Baal, calling on their gods to bring fire from heaven to consume the altar and so forth and sacrifice. And they called all day and all night, nothing. And then Elijah was called. And just to prove out that our God is great. You want fire from heaven? Okay. Bring water. Soak the sacrifice 3 times with water. Soak the wood. Soak the stones. Soak the soil. And God sends fire. Consumes the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licks up the water. That's our God. And when they brought the wine, you know, to the master of the banquet, he didn't know where it came from. But the servants knew. They had seen it all happening. And if you and I fill the water pots to the brim and watch the result, you will know who provides the power and the miracle. We have to use our abilities in service for the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 talks about vessels being fit for the master's use. All we have is earthen vessels. That's all we've got. We're not much to look at. But if we bring what we have, he can bless that. It's amazing what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. There's only 5 loaves and 2 small fishes from a wee boy. Doesn't matter. Insignificant. And Jesus says, bring him. And he fed thousands. He could have done it with 4 loaves and 1 fish. He could have done it with 1 loaf and no fish. He could have done what he wanted. But it pleased the Lord to use what that wee boy had. And you notice this. He took all that the wee boy had. All these servants needed, he was ordinary water. You know, if you search the scriptures, he'll turn the water into wine. He'll thrill your soul. If you give out Christian literature, no one has ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ by being given a tract and reading it. It's only words. But if you've done your bit, the Holy Spirit moves in the heart and the mind of the person who reads that tract. Maybe we need God to bless more and we need to pray more. Maybe that's the empty pot that needs filled. I don't know. It's a common problem. And whatever you do in this church here, your fellowship here, whether you're your pastor, elder, deacon, Sunday school teacher, youth leaders, ushers, cleaners, drivers, worship team, whatever it is, fill the pots to the brim. I come from Portadown Baptist Church, and I bring you greetings. By the way, we had an elders meeting on Monday night, and I said I was coming here, so I bring you greetings of Portadown Baptist Church. And we're all the same. Doesn't matter how small the church is, how big the church is. There's always a work to be done, and we've got to do it to the best of our ability and cast the burden on the Lord for the results. You've got to trust in God. Jesus didn't tell the servants to fill the pots with water and then leave them to look like absolute fools. He performed the miracle. And there's nothing that's done for Christ that's in vain. The scriptures tell us that his word never returns to him void. It will accomplish that to which he has sent it. So we've got to be a worker. We've got to please the Savior. And in this story, I wonder, sometimes you have to have a sanctified imagination, whether was there a servant or servants who just watched, didn't get involved, maybe criticized and didn't do any work themselves? And there are times in church, you know, if you carry the water, do your best, sometimes you stumble and you fall and you spill the water and you get it wrong. Isn't it strange how there's always someone there to criticize? That was too heavy anyway. See that bucket? Too heavy for me. Shouldn't have lifted it. Went about it the wrong way. See the way he fell? That'll never work. That was a pointless exercise. We've never done it that way before. And on the other side, there's someone there to encourage you. Come on, get up. Let's go for it. Encouragers are great people in the Church of Jesus Christ. And you know, we weren't at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. But as believers, we will be at the great marriage supper of the Lamb as the bride of Christ. What a celebration that will be. In the meantime, here we are. You in your small corner, and I in mine. No one has ever served Jesus Christ too well. So, brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, may I exhort you today and leave verse 7 with you. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. May God bless you. I trust that the Lord will bless you through the ministry of his word as we seek to serve him. We're going to sing a great hymn in keeping with what I've just been speaking about. It's an old hymn. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Is it coming to the screen? There we are. We walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Fill the pots.